Praise the Lord. So again, welcome to follow-up and visitation, ushering Sunday. Amen. Our topic today is labor of love. Yeah, we see hospitality. It's all about it. Praise the Lord. That's the theme. Our topic is labor of love. And the text is Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust. He will not forget, some translations say, or overlook how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers. Another translation says, or in ministering to the needs of the saints. Praise the Lord. King James said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Praise the Lord. So God is fair. He will remember all the work you have done. He will remember that you showed your love to him by helping his people and that you continue to help them. Praise the Lord. So I begin to ask myself, showing my love for God. He says, God is not unjust. And God says he will not forget. He will not overlook it. You see what we saw in that drama? Did God overlook that level of love? No, he didn't. They were here rejoicing, and we thank God for the inner witnessing. Praise the Lord. And for a submissive wife and a God-fearing wife. Amen? God said, I will not forget it. I will not overlook it. He says, how hard you have worked for him. So when you're ministering help to any of the sisters here, whatever you're doing to show your love, you're encouraging somebody, you're comforting somebody, you're visiting, you're praying with them, you're being used by God to meet their needs. God said he will never forget it. Praise the Lord. And if God said he will not forget, he will not forget. It means day of reckoning is coming. The day of what? Payback is coming. It means that in the proper time, you will get your reward. Amen. He says he will not forget. That is one. The second one, how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers. When you care for any of his children, when you care, when you give, when you pray with them, when you help God, you be the arm of God, the leg of, to meet their needs. God said, you have shown your love to him. Praise the Lord. So when you ask yourself, how do I show my love for God? It's by helping his children. It's by loving them, helping them, meeting their needs, visiting, calling them on the phone. How are you doing? Encouraging them. Praying with them. And then, so sometimes we pray for blessings. There are many ways you can get the blessings of God. Today we are going to find out. By just loving other brethren, the blessings of God that you're praying for, it just comes without prayer. Praise the Lord. So you show your love for God. You show love for his name's sake. As you do what? Minister to the needs of other saints by caring for other believers. Praise the Lord. But then it says, as you still do. As you still do. You cannot say, okay, because I was doing it before. But you know what? They don't even appreciate it. But you know what? When I give it to them, who even cares? They don't even notice. You know what? You know what, you know what. It says, as you still do. There's a clause attached to it. So we will never stop doing it. So long as you're doing it, so long as you're helping other Christians, other believers, you know, in this household of God, we have ample, look, there's opportunity to help. So long as you're still, you cannot stop. It says, as you still do. Not as you did, but as you still do. He said he will not forget. Praise the Lord. And we know most of you have been doing it. And today God is saying, you know what? I have not forgotten. I will not forget. And at the proper time, the reward will come. So keep on keeping on. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6:9-10 says, let us not grow weary or become discouraged or get tired in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not give in. He says you should not grow weary. Oh, I'm getting, no, this, I don't know about this. You should not get discouraged, whatever it is. It might be a Judas day. You know how Mary was giving to the Lord and Judas said, this thing is too much. Would have sold this thing and used it to whatever. He had an ulterior motive though. You have some people like a wet blanket. They will tell you, are you giving too much? You need to stop. Are you the only one? Every day visitation, every day giving, every day. They'll try to discourage you. Sometimes people don't even appreciate it. You are expecting somebody to say thank you. They don't say thank you. Don't let them say thank you. Let God do the thank you. Praise the Lord. Let them not even do the thank you. Let God thank you. And he knows how to thank you real good, better than what man can thank you. Amen. So he says you should never get discouraged. You should never be weary. Don't get tired of doing what? Doing good. You know why? He says, at the proper time, you will reap. You will reap a harvest of blessings. That's another translation. If we do not give in. If you do not give in to what? If you do not give in to weariness. If you do not give in to all these discouragements coming from people. If you not get given to tiredness. God said at the proper time. And that proper time, God alone knows the proper time. He said, you will reap a harvest of blessing. Praise the Lord. He says, so then, while we, and I want to bring out something there. If God says, at the proper time, you will reap. The Bible says, as long as, God says, as long as the earth remains, there will be harvest time, and there will be what? Seed time. If I'm going to reap a harvest, if there's going to be a harvest, it means that there has been a sowing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. When you're not discouraged, when you're not tired, when you're not wearied, and then you continue to show that love, to do good, he says, at the proper time, harvest time will come. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. At the proper time, you will reap. And reap what? A harvest of blessings. Amen? And so shall it be. He says, so then, while we as individual believers have the opportunity, let us do good. We have the opportunity. There are so many people that need help. They need financial help. They need material help, spiritual help, assist. They need help. Many people need help. And God is saying today, because of this, so then, you as individual believers, individually, all of us, not as a church now, you have the opportunity. Let us do good. But watch it. It now says to all people. So it's not just to believers now. So it now says to all people. Praise the Lord. To all people, including those ones you think are not Christians. Those ones that you don't even want to associate with. To all people. Not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being. How else can you, how best can you promote an unbeliever's spiritual well-being if it's not inviting them, welcoming them, helping them when they're suffering? Just, you know, something. So that at the end of it, something will happen. You have an agenda. You have a goal. It's to win that soul. Today, God is saying, we should not lose any opportunity to do good to everybody, to all people. Praise the Lord. And at the proper time, you will reap the reward. Let us look at 1 John 4, 20 to 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You know, we love you, Lord. God is saying, if you love me, how come you don't love that sister by your side? Because of the way they talk to you, because of the way they carry themselves, because of this, because of that. If you love me, for sure you would have loved that brother. God says, he who loves God must love his brother also. So when you're loving God, that love for God will overflow. It will spill over. It will overflow. It will spread to your love for people. Praise the Lord. There was a time Pastor was sharing with us how suddenly he started loving people. This joy just like overwhelmed him in his heart. It's like everybody he saw, he loved them. He wanted to hug. Just the love. You know, so it happens to you. I know I've experienced. When he was saying, I'm like, this has happened to me. Sometimes that's like an outburst of joy in you. You cannot contain it. You see people, you love them. You just want to love. You just want to love. It happens. Because you love God, he says, you should also love others. If you don't have love for others, you cannot say you love God. And if you think you're not loving somebody, they will begin to question your love for God. Praise the Lord. And that is love we're talking about today. If you love people, if you don't love people, you should question your love for God. Let us look at what Ephesians 5, 1 to 2 says about it. It says, therefore, become imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example, as well beloved children imitate father, and walk continually in love. And I wasn't myself. That imitation, how does it happen? By me walking continually in love. Watch that word, continually. The other scripture passage we read says, as you still do. Remember? And the other one says, if you do not give in. And now it says, continually. God wants this to be our life pattern. A life of love. Praise the Lord. He says, just watch him. As well beloved children imitate their father, walking continually in love. Praise the Lord. You value that person. You value your fellow Christians, those sisters, no matter what, those brothers. Says you have compassion. His compassions fail not. And if we're going to imitate him, our compassion should not fail. Praise the Lord. Empathy. Our sister Megdu was talking about empathy yesterday. Before you judge, before you do anything, put yourself in their position. Put yourself in their position. And then you know how they feel. Praise the Lord. Then you don't judge them the way you want to. Because now you know how they feel. You're feeling the same way they feel. He says all these things. Then again, he says, unselfishly seeking the best for others. This is what he's talking about, walking in love. Just as Christ did for us. Hallelujah. He wanted the best for us. And that is why he gave himself up for us. Continually walking in love. Showing empathy, valuing one another, having compassion, praise the Lord, for each other, for other Christians, for other people. God wants us to live a life of love. And guess what? God has equipped you. You're a supernatural human being. You know why you're supernatural? That Holy Spirit lives within us, praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit of the living God. That's what makes you supernatural. Amen. You are not ordinary. Hello, are you ordinary? The Holy Spirit lives within you. Praise the Lord. He has equipped you to live that life of love. And when we begin to walk, and we begin to live by the Spirit within us, then we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We will not give in to gossip, discouragement, etc. But now we begin to exhibit that fruit of the Spirit, which is primarily what? Love. You begin to love people. Praise the Lord. And that brings us to today, Ushering Day. Praise the Lord. So we all know the definition. When I say what is an usher, you all know she helped us here. But I want us to read 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Helps is one of these ones that God has set in the church. And the ministry of ushering belongs to this ministry of helps. You heard us say, we help people, we answer their questions, we sit them down, we greet them. Hey, how are you today? Who invited you? Oh, I don't know. You're welcome. Can I take you to her seat? We want you to feel comfortable. You want to sit next to her, next to him? Okay, you want your children are here. You want me to take them upstairs for you? We have children's department. They're helping people. Every ministry that helps like this, that under this ministry that we're talking about, helps. Praise the Lord. They help others. And God has so gifted them to use, and they are using this gift to help others. Amen. That's our ushering ministry. And without these gifts, believe me, ushers will not be able to be effective in fulfilling this ministry that God has called them into. Like the pastor was telling us this morning, saying, thank you, we apologize on behalf of the church. Because when they come to us, we are not even responsive. We treat them so badly. Somebody, an usher once said, do you know, I asked brother this person to please give me his child if he can't take this child out. To please, he said, he looked at me and said, usher, biko nye go defe. The way, usher, please, give way. You know, we talk them down, we talk down at them and everything. But I thank God that they have this gift in them, that they can take whatever we give to them and still go on loving and serving God with joy. Praise the Lord. They said it's an honor, it's a privilege to serve God, even as an usher, and that's what it is. Praise the Lord. Even though the word usher does not appear in the Bible, we know that we see so many roles there that define the positions occupied by these ones. The ushers that are called doorkeepers, that are called servants and helpers to priests. Ushers are called, some other translations says they're assistants, the priests. We don't have time to get into all these passages today. They're called gatekeepers. Let us look at 1 Chronicles 9:24 and 26 to buttress the point our beloved head of ministry made here today. 1 Chronicles 9:24 and 26. It says, the gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, the west, the north, and south. Then 26 says, for in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, even from the priesthood lineage. And they had charge over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. And she was here saying this morning, it's a privilege to serve God as an usher. This is, it says, that gatekeepers, but they are, it is a trusted office. Praise the Lord. The office of this usher is a trusted office. Amen? A trusted office. So an usher can be, you know, by function in the church, how, you know, function they keep in the church, and be called servants, helpers, minister, doorkeeper, gatekeeper. And you know what? They can actually, you know, call to serve, that can actually be called deacons. You know, in Nigeria, I was a deacon, and I thought that deacon is something. But when I was studying, I'm like, deacon? You know the meaning of the word deacon? Deacon means what? That Greek word, diakonos. But deacon means a servant. Deacon means a waiting man, a minister, a messenger. Praise the Lord. And that serving, let us go to 1 Corinthians, to Acts 6, 3 to 5. And look at what happened when the apostles asked, you know, the members to give them seven men. Let us look, just start from verse 3. We don't have enough time. Verse 3, it says, therefore, you know, there was a lot of problem. The Hellenist Jews and these other Jews had problem that they were not treating their widows well. And there was problem there. And the apostles now said, therefore, select out from among yourselves, brethren, seven men of good, begin to look at it, good, attested character and repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You see the qualifications, spiritual qualifications, they are good, they have attested character and repute, they are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom may assign to look after this business and duty. But you know, we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. And so they chose Stephen and the rest of them. So they're supposed to serve. They begin to serve. He says, and the messengers, and then he said, this they did, and they gave a reason for them doing it. So they're not going to set aside their ministry as apostles, praying, preaching the word of God, so as to serve tables. Praise the Lord. So that is how this word came to be. Deacon, to serve, and our ushering ministry, the kitchen, the sound and media, everybody under this health department. You know that deacons are doing the work of deacons. If the pastor should leave preaching and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, meditating on the word of God to bless us, and we're growing like this, and begin to worry about all what ushers do, people in the kitchen, the sound and media, all this health ministry, how is he going to have time? Praise the Lord. So we thank God for this help, this ministry of help, so that the pastor can now do what? Concentrate, focus to hear God, to receive, and to feed us accordingly. Praise the Lord. That's what the ushers do, and we thank God for this responsibility that was given to them. When you look at the book of Acts, the book of 1 Timothy 3, it says, verse 8, in the same way, deacons must be well respected. You see their qualifications again? Have integrity, not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed, and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, let them now serve as deacons. This is where that serving comes from. Just like you have bishops, overseers, you have the pastor as the shepherd of the flock, the servants, deacons. Also, what they do is what? To serve. Praise the Lord. So their job is not a lowly one. It's not unimportant because of the qualifications that we have now seen. And believe me, all these qualifications, spiritual qualifications, is what we want to continue to see in our ushers. And if you want, like we're asking, we need more people. We're looking at you. We pray that everyone that comes will meet with all these qualification requirements here, the qualifications we see here, because ushering is a very important position. Praise the Lord. She talked about the roles of ushers. I'm not going to go into that. Praise the Lord. So as they are there to do all that they are doing for us, to meet people, to greet them, to guide and provide assistance to these ones that come into the church, and we know that this job, we don't even appreciate them, but they are doing it, and still doing it with joy. Everything they do, loving us, showing love, is as unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. They walk in love, and they're walking, doing it as unto the Lord. Then what's our own responsibility? Praise the Lord. We have a lot of, you know, things, Bible passages about welcoming visitors, how to deal with, you know, first-timers in our church, how to deal with guests, how to deal with other brethren. Let us look at, you know, the first thing we need to do about ushers is to learn how to respect them. God has placed this government in this church. Praise the Lord. And you know what? When you respect them, you're honoring God who placed them there. And when you honor God, God says, I will honor you. I will honor those that honor me. And God, it's not, God does not play. When he says something, he means it. Praise the Lord. Let's look at John 13, 20. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, he who receives and welcomes and takes into the heart any messenger of mine receives me. In just that way, in just that way, and he who receives and welcomes and takes me into his heart receives him who sent me. So sometimes have these messengers of God come here. How do we treat them? So today, ushering day, we're looking at things that may be blocking our blessings, and we don't even know. And things you can do, and the blessing will continue to flow without even you praying about it. Praise the Lord. God says, the Bible says, or Jesus is speaking here. He said, most solemnly, I tell you, if you receive and welcome and take into your heart any messenger of mine, you are receiving me in just that way. If you laugh, if you jeer, if you treat them with honor, he says, in just that same way, that's you're doing it to me. And when you do it to me, the same way you've done it to whom? To God. Praise the Lord. So when we have messengers coming, strangers, you know, visiting us or something, we need to do what? To receive them. We need to welcome them. We need to take them into our hearts. As we do that, Jesus said, you're doing it to him. You're also doing it to God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13, 1 to 2 said, let love for your fellow believers continue and be a fixed practice with you. Never let it fail. Do not forget or neglect or refuse to extend hospitality to strangers, that it says in the brotherhood, meaning Christian strangers, being friendly to them, cordial, gracious, sharing the comforts of your home, like we saw in that drama, praise the Lord, and do your own part generously. Some of us are tight fists, generously. If you cook steak every Friday, when somebody comes, you want to make chicken. Why? Do the steak. God goes generously and watch. He that has promised, he will fulfill his promise. Praise the Lord. He says you should not let love for your fellow believers continue. You see that continue again? You see it? So don't at any time give up. And let it be a fixed practice. Loving sister A, loving brother A, no matter how hard they push to get you upset, to get you discouraged. No. He says, let it continue. Praise the Lord. He says, do not forget it. Do not neglect. Do not refuse to extend hospitality to strangers. Especially which ones? He says, to strangers, but he says, in the brotherhood. That is the Christian strangers. He says, for through it, some have entertained angels without knowing it. I'm telling you, they didn't just entertain angels. Today we are learning that when you do it for any of these ones, you've done it unto him. Praise the Lord. You're also entertaining Christ. He says, and then as you did it to me, you're also doing it to the Father. Praise the Lord. And believe me, you're entertaining him. A proper time will come and you begin to harvest, to reap the harvest of what you did. Jesus showed hospitality. When you look at Jesus, yes, Jesus with the woman at the well, there's something very significant about that encounter with this woman. You see, this woman was a woman that nobody would even want to associate with. And then, you know, in those days, Jews were hardly mixed with the Samaritans. They were looked at as outcasts, right? But here comes Jesus, a Jew. He's sitting there at the well, and this woman comes. Come and see hospitality. A man talking to a Samaritan, and then what's for a woman, and the woman a prostitute. He said, you had five husbands. The one you're living with is not even your husband. Nobody won't associate with her, right? This is a Jewish man. Jesus himself, not just he's talking to a woman, a Samaritan that is an outcast, but now he's talking to a woman. And then he's asking her for a drink of water. Praise the Lord. That's something we used to say when we were in school. He said, Obuogun with a plan. Whoever is killing his time, he has plans. Jesus had plans, praise the Lord. He had plans, you know. What was his motive? He knew what he was fishing for. The soul of that woman, praise the Lord. And at the end of it, what happened? Look at the impact. This woman, he told me all I know, all I did. Everything that I ever did, he told me. He already saved this woman. He has won her soul. And then she rushed out. She went to call the whole village, and all those villagers, they came running, and all of them got saved. That's what hospitality can do. Praise the Lord. Just reaching out to a stranger. It might end you in doing what? Saving that soul. And heaven will rejoice on your account. Praise the Lord. Open your doors to hospitality, to that stranger. Praise the Lord. Abraham also, remember his own case, when he had those three men visiting, one of them was Christ, remember? And you know, Abraham had been praying, he wanted a child all those years. But when Abraham had gotten his wife, prepared this bread, prepared the meal, slaughter this one, and then he stood there waiting for them, you know, serving them. And at the end of it, what happened? One of them said, I will come again in the spring. At that time, your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was laughing. Now he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I saw it in that drama. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, I will come again in the spring, just as I said I would, and your wife Sarah will have a son. That long prayer you've been praying, trusting God, believing God, that healing, whatever breakthrough it is, when you go on to do as God says, open your door, be nice, show hospitality, love other brethren, even visitors amongst you, strangers, that prayer, that the heart desire of yours, the Lord will grant that heart desire in Jesus' name. Without your knowing it. Oh, I think I saw it also in the drama, right? The Lord will grant your heart desires, and so shall it be. Even as you're tolling his own vineyard, the Lord, you're laboring. God is also laboring in yours. Praise the Lord. He says, I will not forget. Don't think I'm overlooking it. I see it. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest of reward, of blessings. Praise the Lord. So look at Deuteronomy 10:17. He says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, O Lord, and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God. But I want to go quickly now. He says, he shows love to foreigners living among you and gives them food. So you too must show love to foreigners. For you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. And we're asking, why is she talking about this one? God commands Israel to welcome strangers because they have had the experience of being a stranger in Egypt. They were not to oppress aliens in their midst. Why? Because they knew that at a point in time, they were aliens too. Praise the Lord. So this is how we too must treat visitors in our midst when they come to our church. At one time, you were the alien. You were the visitors that was being welcomed here. Praise the Lord. Today, position has changed. Now you're now a church member. And somebody else, the stranger, that visitor, is now the alien. And I want you to think back how eventually you got assimilated into this church. You became a member. The first day you came, how were you treated? Did they welcome you? Did they show you love? Pastor Ken said to me, Nate, one, he said, Sister Uche, why don't you go and do that greeting that we're looking for the district women? Go there. I want you to go. You know how she thought? I want you to go. I said, why? That was some years ago. She said, if you welcome them the way you welcomed me and showed me love, believe me, they wouldn't go back. You know? And then you think they're not noticing. They notice. They know. And above all, God is watching. Praise the Lord. So God said, I want you to think back. When you think back on how you were treated, and then that will now help you begin to reflect on it, then you begin to learn how to treat people when they come into your church for the first time. Your role, what your role should be when you see visitors. How do you welcome them? And that needs to become the responsibility of every single one of us, not just the ushers. That is what God is saying to us today. Praise the Lord. If they didn't treat you well, now you know. You've learned better, so you're going to treat others well. And if they treated you well, you do better. Praise the Lord. Amen. They didn't know better. That's why they didn't treat you well. So now that you become a born-again Christian, what do we do next? What do we do? This is where our follow-up and visitation team comes in. This is an awesome group. An awesome, awesome group. After service, they sit back. They welcome these visitors, our first-timers. They pray with them. They give them tracts. They give them their package. They collect their information and send this information to the appropriate quarters. If it is the youth or the women or the men department, they send it there. And then they follow up. They call them up to see how they are doing. And they go beyond that. Even our members in the church, if they work with the Sunday school teachers, I've not seen Sister Susan. So this is the third week. The Sunday school teacher says, I've not seen them. Or somebody receives an information. This person is in the hospital. Oh, my goodness. You know what they do? I've been privileged to go to one or two places with them. Praise the Lord. And some of us here can, testify to that. You know, they go there. They spend quality time with this person. They pray with them. They sing, they dance, they encourage this person. And at the end, they give gifts. And these gifts, they give it with joy. They give you financial gift. They give you material gift. You know, they give you rice, bag of rice, tin of oil. They give physical cash, and I'm talking big one. Praise the Lord. And I say kudos to our follow-up department. Amen. So what is follow-up? Because some people say, what is this follow-up thing? It's about building up a new believer in Christ so they can come to the place of what? Maturity. Praise the Lord. When a woman has a child, you know how it is? A very joyful thing. When you're pregnant, you're preparing your home, buying pink dresses for the girls, now that the doctors tell you what you're going to have, getting the blue ones for the babies, neutral colors because you don't know the sex. And when the baby comes, you're so happy. My husband, the day I had Chinenye, my first baby in Nigeria, I had the rest here. You know what he did? That story continued. My husband, right from the road, the main road, Dr. Nwobu Ekoka now, you know, they have only one major road. My husband was honking from that major road all the way to our compound. He was honking. The wife just had a baby. This man was honking. And I had the story. I'm like, what, babe? What did you do? He said, yes. Excitement, joy. And can you imagine? That is what happens in heaven when one soul comes to Christ. And guess what? And at the end of the day, we leave that soul. That's what we do. We don't even attend to them. We don't take care of them. It's an awful thing. Praise the Lord. God requires us. That's where I called in the passage I called, Matthew 28. It says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said to baptize them, right? He also said to teach them, teaching them. That is where our follow-up comes in. Praise the Lord. This is where we come in. When you bring your child home, you don't take care of the child. Something bad might happen to them. And our spiritual children, the same thing happens. When we bring them home, and we don't take care of them. Praise the Lord. When somebody accepts Christ, our walk is just beginning. So we need to have a goal for follow-up. Praise the Lord. We need to have a goal. The first thing we want to do is we want them to grow in maturity. First, Colossians 1:28-29. Him we preach and proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone, instructing everyone in all wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, that we may present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete and perfect in Christ the anointed one. For this I labor, says Paul, unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which is so mightily enkindles and works within me. You see, you know how to take care of your child. Just like our own natural children, we should be able to do what? To help these ones to come to the place of maturity, so we can present them mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete and perfect in Christ. Praise the Lord. We want to help them also to become multiplying disciples. This church is awesome in discipleship. You know, as on this thing, I'll talk about that later. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things, the doctrine, the precepts, the admonitions, the sum of my mystery, which you have heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses, entrust as a treasure to reliable and faithful men who will also be capable and qualified to teach others. Praise the Lord. That should be our goal, to disciple this my spiritual child, to like bring him to the place, he comes to the place of what? Maturity, and be able to do what? Disciple others. That is how we grow in the church. And that is what is called growth in the church, spiritual multiplication. Praise the Lord. You make a disciple, who will now make disciples, who will in turn make disciples, and it continues, spiritual multiplication. And then God expects, what does God expect from us? Exactly what? As spiritual parents. I like the way somebody defined this thing. He says, follow up, he says, spiritual pediatrics is the parental care given to new converts to bring them to spiritual maturity and fullness. Spiritual pediatrics. God expects us to be able to win souls, and God expects us to take care of those souls, pediatrics. I think it's something to do with the children. Praise the Lord, infants. And so God has called us to be both spiritual obstetricians, and spiritual pediatrics. I read and I said, it makes sense. And I went back, I said, oh my God, we're called to do what? Win souls. We're also called to follow them up. Praise the Lord. These little ones born, this newborn, born again, the new babies in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if we neglect our natural children, something happens. Same thing happens with spiritual children. They don't grow automatically. They need love. We need to love them. Parenting without love, like we were sharing yesterday in family forum, How can you really, really, really be a successful parent if you don't walk in love with your children? The same thing happens with these babies in the Lord. We need to show them love. Love them as Christ also loved us. And that will be successful when we walk in love with them. Praise the Lord. They need nourishment. They need to be fed. When we have new babies, we give them milk. They also need the sincere milk of the Word of God so that they may grow thereby. Praise the Lord. They need protection. The Bible says the devil prowls around like a lion, roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. And, you know, it also tells us in Luke, you know, when we did about the seeds that are sown on rocky soil represent those ones that hear the message and then receive it with joy. But guess what? Their root is not deep. They don't have deep roots. So they believe for a while, and what happens? When temptation comes, they fall away. And new converts are very, very vulnerable because they're not deeply rooted in the Word of God. So when temptation comes, oh my God, you know what will happen? Praise the Lord. They fall. So they need to be trained. The Bible says to train up a child the way he should go. When he grows old, he will not depart from it. Also, our spiritual children, you train them up the way they should go. When they grow older, they will never depart from it. Praise the Lord. We are spiritual parents. We need to train them. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:5. This is why I sent Timothy to you, so that I could know about your faith. I sent him when I could not wait anymore. I was afraid that the devil who tempts people might have defeated you with temptations. Praise the Lord. Then our hard work would have been wasted. So if they're not living in victory, you know, we should be worried about it. We should just feel the same way Paul feels here. So just the same way we feel for our biological children. If they are falling for temptation, they are not grounded. The way it bothers you should be how it bothers you for your spiritual children. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you would be blameless and pure children of God without any faults. But you are living with evil people all around you who have lost their sense of what is right. Among these people, you shine like light in a dark world, and you offer them the teaching that gives life. You know what Paul is saying here? He wants us to bring them up and teach them how to witness for Christ, not just witnessing with their mouth, but also witnessing with their lives. Praise the Lord. When my husband when he got born again, I was a Christian before he was. So my husband has his own church. He wouldn't go to my own church because his friends would tell him, how can this girl from America, you know, this go to this church? This man doesn't even know how to speak English. That's her pastor. And you're going there. He went to his own, where they have all those timbers and calibers. That's fine with me, provided he let me, you know. I was going. He let me, you know, do my thing. And when he got born again, he wouldn't come with us. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, these full gospelers, they always have their meetings in hotels. And this big hotel in Okaikenga Hotel. So one of those days, we went for the meeting because I go with him. I need him to be encouraged. I need to support him. Praise the Lord. And I pray every day for that. You know what? As we're coming out from the hotel, we met his group of friends. One of them was the worst of them that would just make ridicule of everything about Christianity. He was there drinking. It's like he knew, you know, we went there. He knew Jesus would be coming out. And as soon as, and that, Maza will not carry his Bible. I'm the one to carry his Bible for him. He won't let his friends. You know, some of these are baby Christians. They don't want their friends or their relatives, their family, to know that they're born again. You know, it happens. And so as we were coming out for that Ikenga Hotel, in that lobby, we saw them. Oh, God, my heart skipped a beat. This is law. Oh, my goodness. What will he say? He's going to discourage my husband. I was praying in the spirit, blowing it as soon as we got there. Hey, Chocho, what are you doing here, Chooks? Are you telling me that you're now one of them? Yeah, Chooks, you're carrying Bible. That day, my husband had his Bible. See how God does it. So we stood there, and I was praying. My husband stood there. And this sparkling glass of beer, he was sipping and he was making all those, cracking all those jokes. And Mazan, after he was done, Mazan just tapped that beer. He said, Law, his name is Lawrence. He said, Dr. Law. He said, Law, there's no life here. He showed his wife, said, this is where life is. And I'm like, Jesus. And he was taken aback because other times when he did that to him, he would just like, you know, withdraw. And that was the victory we had. Praise the Lord. So you want these babies to be able to share Christ, you know? Able to be proud, to witness for Christ. apart from witnessing with their, you know, with their mouth, also to witness with their life. Because after that, now we'll go for all these parties. I didn't want to go after I got born again. But my husband will insist. But after that, he started, you know, dragging his feet. And then when we go there, when they make all those jokes we used to enjoy, no laughter. One day, I think my mother-in-law, she did it. She laughed, and then she now described to me what happened to her. And I took note of it. When they make those jokes, I'm not part of it. When they do those stupid dance, I'm no longer. And then gradually, we began to witness, you know, my husband began to witness with his life, not just with, you know, his mouth. Praise the Lord. And that's what we should do. That should be our goal. Amen? So we need to help these, our children, our baby Christians. They need to cultivate their faith. They need to know how to grow in Christ. We need to teach them the doctrines of the Christian faith. You know, teach them how to tithe. Teach them how to give. And as they grow, they will never depart from it. Praise the Lord. Teach them that it's necessary to have time to be with God every day. It's important to help, you know, to establish a habit of meeting with Christ daily. Teach them that, to help them live a life of what? Their new life of faith. Teach them not to forget the gathering of the believers. That our Bible study day is not a day to say, boss, if you want overtime, I'm here, I'm free. No, it's not a day for overtime. The days you have church activities, not overtime days. On Sundays are not for staying home and watch football and watch the rest of them. So teach them these things. And as they grow, oh, they will grow with it. They will never depart from it. Praise the Lord. Paul said, he said, Paul, let's look at Paul. Oh, Jesus. Paul is 1 Corinthians 4:14. Paul said, we want to see how Paul functioned as a spiritual father. He said, I do not write to shame you. Some of us want to shame them. You can't shame them. They don't know better. Praise the Lord. They're learning. It's like me shaming my little granddaughter. No. She does what she does. She's naked. She goes everywhere. You know, they don't care. But don't shame them. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm not writing to shame you, but to warn you and counsel you. That is what we should do, my beloved children. He said, after all, though you should have 10,000 teachers, guides to direct you in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. But I became your father in Christ through Jesus Christ, through the tidings, the good, glad tidings, the gospel he preached to them. So I urge you and implore you, be imitators of me. This is what God wants from us. To do what? Live a life that these ones will imitate. Praise the Lord. Paul said, be imitators of me. That is what we should do. Let them imitate us and watch our course of conduct and our way of life in Christ and begin to copy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether it is a new convert that you're taking care of outside or the one in the church, you need to live a life that they will imitate. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I'm sending Timothy. You can call them on cell phone. You can text. You can send email. You can tweet. I'm tweeting these days, right? You can meet them in Facebook, everywhere. Praise the Lord. But make sure. Let's look at what I'm trying to explain here. Acts 15:36. It says, and after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, come, let us go back and again visit and help and minister to the brethren in every town where we made known the message of the Lord and see how they are getting along. Let it be one of our concerns. How are they getting along? You call them on the phone again and again. If you can visit, that is fine. And you begin to minister to them. You begin to encourage them, establishing them, strengthening their souls. Praise the Lord. Urging them, warning them, encouraging them to stand firm in the faith. Jesus did follow up. You know that. Praise the Lord. He appeared to the disciples. How many times? I think it was 3 times. This was on that first day of the week. Jesus Christ appeared. Guess what? The disciples were hiding behind closed door. They were afraid of the Jews. And during that follow-up, what did he? Jesus appeared. He said, peace to you. And as he said that, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw that, they were filled with joy. Sadness is gone. They were filled with delight, ecstasy, rapture. No more fear. Praise the Lord. It was so important that Jesus went again. And this time around, he was speaking to Peter. Do you love me? Because it's a labor of love. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will help these born-again Christians, these new babies in the Lord. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep.
Praise the Lord. Because they need that spiritual food. If they don't get it, what happens to a natural baby? They get sick and something bad happens. Praise the Lord. He said, feed my sheep three times to Peter. Praise God. So we should try to get them. Are you visiting? Do you have any home church? If you don't have, you can come to my church. Help them to do what? Get involved, get assimilated into a local church and become part of that church. It helps them to grow. Praise God. Inspire them with your zeal. I remember my own spiritual mommy, Mommy Nweke. Look, that woman inspired me. Very zealous. Evangelism, she would make me go. And in a loving way, by the time I know it, I'm agreeing to go without her even asking. Visitation, regularity to Bible study, she's there. At school, I'm looking at her. She was a vice principal before I became one. I was looking at watching this woman's life. Oh, my God. And the zeal in this woman. I want you to, those born-again Christians, your children in the Lord, the ones in this church, I want your enthusiasm to let them, let them be stimulated by your enthusiasm for Christ, for the things of God. That is what, be an exemplary person to them. Let them begin to copy you. I saw it in my own spiritual mother, Mommy Nweke. Let be an example in your speech, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself, your work of love, the way you love, your faith, your purity. The Bible says you should be an example to these ones. Praise the Lord. Just like your children, you want to be examples to them. I want to show them what is right. Praise the Lord. Same also with these new Christians. Pray for them. Pray with them. Romans 1:9 says, Paul says, God knows how often I pray for you day and night. I bring you and your needs in prayer to God. Bring them and their needs in prayer to God. I remember my mom in Weke. My son is sick. She's there praying with me. My husband has an issue with the family. She's there praying with me. Whatever it is, she's there. By the time you know it, she was being led by the Spirit of God, like we read earlier. You won't even ask her. She knows when to come. Praise the Lord. So we inspire them with zeal. We have to walk again. We have to again go to, as a mother, we have to begin to feel that labor, that pain, that kind of pain that you felt for your own natural child. You continue to feel that pain. As a father, the same thing. Until people can look at that child and see Christ in there. Your natural child, the same thing. The same way. Feel the same, that same pain. From your bowl, from here, about that child. Praise the Lord. The new believer. It's a labor of love. And then, we thank God for this church. It's awesome here. We see the benefits of follow-up. Good evangelism and follow-up. Praise the Lord. We see us in that Sunday school, every class, all the classes are discipleship classes, except for the workers' classes, right? So see how we disciple them when they get born again, the new convert class, the baptismal class, the membership class, the workers in training, until eventually they come to the workers' class. We're discipling them. And when they get to that workers' class, do you know, with time, they are discipling others. These ones are discipling others. And they will have that, what we're calling multiplication in the church. This is an awesome place for discipleship. Praise the Lord. I want us to look at a few passages. So it is a fine and faithful work that we're doing when we give any service to any Christian. Praise the Lord. Let us finally look at Matthew. I need two scriptures I need to read. Matthew 25. And it's a long one. I'll just read fast. Then the king will say to those, Matthew 25 from 34. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God, appointed to eternal salvation. Inherit, receive your own, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you did what? You fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you brought me in together with yourselves and welcomed and entertained me and lodged me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me with help and ministering help. Then the just and upright will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink, etc., etc. And then verse 40, the king says, truly I tell you, insofar as you did it for one of these least in the estimation of men, those ones that we call least, it's in our own estimation. God doesn't even see, that's your own list. He said, as long as you did for these ones that you even call least in your own estimation, You have done it for me. You see, he separated them, the sheep from the goat. On what basis? Because of how they did, they treated, they loved, they helped, they ministered to other brethren, to that sister. You're clothing her when she's naked. You're feeding her because she's hungry. You're giving financial assistance. You're encouraging her. You're calling her. You're visiting. He said, you did that for me. Praise the Lord. And then from verse 41, he said, these ones, the one he calls the goats now, he said, no, for you. He says, and he will reply to them. They said, he will reply to them. Solemnly I declare to you, insofar as you fail to do it for the least of these ones, in the estimation of men, you fail to do it for me. When you see a sister in need, you don't do it. You don't help. You fail to do it to Christ. It is Christ that you just turned down. Some of us have seen him naked. We've not clothed him. Hungry. We couldn't feed him. We've denied him. Praise the Lord. But when you do it for any of these, he says, you have done it for me. Praise the Lord. And the basis of these two groups is what? Just because they did. That's where we feel when you do it for others. You've done it for him. Praise the Lord. And so what am I saying here today? I continue to commend our follow-up and visitation team. Jesus said, when you do it for the least of these ones, you've done it for me. So why do you want to help other Christians? Because they have Christ in them. Why do you want to help unbelievers? We want to see that Christ in them. Praise the Lord. That suffering Christian, you're helping them. Yeah, because you see Christ in them. Because they are Christians. That unbeliever can come to Christ. That's why you need to help them too. Praise the Lord. So we can see Christ in them. Amen. I want us to, for lack of time, I'll go quickly to Isaiah 58. It says, in such a fast as yours, what I have chosen, a day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul, is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of heart that he does not even have? Will you call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord? Rather, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of yoke, to let your press go free, that you break every enslaving yoke? Now, I want you to read. It says, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, like we saw today, when you see the naked that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood? When you see the phone call from Nigeria, pick it up. Praise the Lord. And look at the result. It says, then shall your light break forth. You're asking for blessings. Listening to this. Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of the new life shall spring forth speedily. It says, your righteousness, I wish you can read it with me, your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God shall go before you, doing what? Conducting you to peace and prosperity. Praise the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. He says, you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Because when he cried to that lady that didn't have food, you answered. When he called, when the lady called you, I don't know, sister, if you can, you answered. And God said, now you also will call, and I will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. Now listen to this. It says, if you take away from your midst yokes of oppression, wherein you find them, wherever you find that yoke of oppression, the finger pointed in scorn towards the oppressed or the ungodly, and you know, you raise your nose, that one. God said, when you take it away, every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking, and if you pour out that which you sustain your own life for the hungry, pour it out for the hungry, and satisfy the need of the afflicted, look at another, then comes again. Then shall your light rise in darkness, and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday, and the Lord shall guide you continually, and satisfy you in droughts and in dry places, and make strong your bones. And you shall be like a water garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations. Restoration will come We're asking God today, as we pray, Lord, as we believe, as we praise and worship, let there be healing, let there be breakthroughs, let there be restoration, let there be everything. When you begin to do this, everything that will be, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll be called restorer of streets to dwelling. So today I'm concluding with this. God has called us to this great commission. We cannot relax. We cannot be at ease in Zion. He has called us to this ministry of love, to walk in love continually, to not close your door against hospitality. And God said, you know what? I've equipped you. Indwelling you is the Holy Spirit. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.